Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 143 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to recap Monday night's Jaghawk doubleheaders with all four of our guests tonight. Also going to have a special guest from Coldwell Banker here in a little bit. We will have one player from each of Ankeny and Centennial's baseball and softball teams on the podcast. Later on, we'll be visiting with Ankeny shortstop Marina Carter, as well as baseball standouts Weston Folk of Ankeny and Jackson Powell of Centennial. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. She is a senior catcher on the 10th-ranked Centennial softball team, and she has helped lead the Jaguars to a 24-7 record. Last night, she played a key role as the Jaguars swept a twin bill at Ankeny by scores of 7-6 and 12-9. She is Ella Schultz. Ella, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, hey, congratulations on the sweep last night. You guys won three of the four meetings against the Hawkettes during the regular season. Do you get a little more pumped up to play your rival, or do you just try to treat it like any other game?
You know, we try to treat it like any other game, but it's always like a fun game. It's really hype. You know, it's a lot of people that you've grown up playing with, so it's always a pretty big game.
Well, your team got out to a big lead in both games and then had to hold off Ankeny's rallies. You know, were you surprised that they were able to come back from so far down?
No, I wasn't surprised. We all know that, like, Ankeny is a team that you can't count out, so we know that we have to keep on scoring and try our best to just shut them down throughout the game.
Well, in the first game, you guys got a big lift from relief pitcher Jaden Starr, who had made only three appearances this season. She allowed just one earned run over the last four innings. I know you told me last night that you had confidence that she could, you know, get the job done. What pitches were she throwing so effectively?
She has a curveball that's pretty good. She can move the ball pretty good, and we threw in her changeup a little bit. She was just hitting her spots pretty good. She was throwing hard. She did a great job. I'm really proud of her.
We had a big single to lead off the seventh inning of that game, which led to what proved to be the winning run. You guys took a 7-5 lead into the bottom of the inning, and then Ankeny scored a run on a throwing error to make it 7-6 before another runner was cut down at the plate, and you guys were able to hang on for the victory. You know, things got a little hairy in that play, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a little crazy, but we got the out at the end, so it worked out.
Well, then in the nightcap, you went 3-for-4 with a home run and six RBIs as your team completed the sweep. You had a three-run homer in the fourth inning to make it 8-3, and that was your sixth homer of the year. You know, after hitting just one homer a year ago, did you ever imagine you'd put up, you know, these kind of power numbers this season?
You know, I didn't know I'd hit this many more home runs, but I definitely worked a lot in the offseason. I lifted a lot, so I'm definitely stronger this year, so I think that really helped me this season.
Well, you're now batting 351 with a team-high 30 RBIs. You aren't hitting for quite as high of an average as you did last year, but you're obviously driving the ball out of the park more consistently. Has your approach at the plate changed at all?
I've tried not to change it too much. This year, like the home runs, you can tell, I feel like I've been elevating the ball a little bit more, which the home runs help, so it's getting RBIs helping us score, so it's working out.
Well, after Ankeny rallied to take a 9-8 lead in the second game, you guys scored two runs in the sixth and two more in the seventh to complete the sweep. Now, you came to the plate with the bases loaded in the seventh before a wild pitch allowed a run to score and move the other runners up. And that, of course, opened up first base, and you were then intentionally walked. So did you expect that to happen? Were you kind of bummed after they threw the wild pitch?
I was a little bummed because I always wanted to hit. But, you know, everybody, our whole lineup was hitting that game, so I wasn't afraid. And obviously, Addy hit the ball, and we scored a run, so everything worked out fine.
Well, you guys will play Ankeny again on July 10th when you host the Hawkettes in a Class 5A regional semifinal. Now, Coach Delaney didn't even use two of your best pitchers last night, Sam Klug and Lauren Gustafson. So do you like your chances to beat Ankeny again in 11 days?
Yeah, I feel like we have pretty good chances, but we're just going to have to come out and play our best because Ankeny is a good team and it'll just be a fun night.
Well, after placing third in the Class 5A state tournament last year, your team is obviously hoping to earn another trip to Fort Dodge. I know Coach doesn't want you guys to look beyond that rematch against Ankeny, but I did want to ask you about fourth-ranked Indianola, which is the top seed in your region. You know, you probably have to get past them in order to reach state. Do you know much about them, or have you even talked about them yet?
We play them quite a bit in the fall season, so we're familiar with them. We face their pitcher. We know that they're good hitters, but we can put up runs against them, so we just know we have to come out, play our best, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Well, I had to look some of this stuff up today, but I know you were a freshman on the 2018 Centennial team that lost at Indianola 9-0 in a regional semifinal. You'd probably enjoy getting a chance at some revenge against them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we were actually just talking about that, some of us, and we're just talking about it'd just be really cool to like reverse it, go a full 360, and it'd be really cool to make state our senior year.
Well, you're the only current Centennial player who played in that game, while Indianola has a couple of seniors who played in that game, including Destiny Lewis, who hit a home run that night, and she currently leads the Indians with 12 homers and 47 RBIs, so she's obviously someone you'd have to be careful with if you get the opportunity to play them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we know she's a solid player, but I trust all of our pitchers. I know that we can pitch good to her and hopefully find a way to get her out.
Well, Elle, I just wanted to ask you briefly about your future plans. You're sitting here wearing a Minnesota State T-shirt. You've committed to play for the Mavericks. That's a Division II program. And my next guest on the podcast, Marina Carter, is also committed to them. Did you guys compare notes at all when you were being recruited? I know you committed about a month before Marina did, but I didn't know if you guys collaborated on your decisions at all. Or
We didn't really talk much about it, but I think it's really cool because me and Marina, we like started out playing together like Ankeny Extreme. So we've played together since we're eight, so I think it's really cool that like we'll get to finish our careers and play college together.
Now, do you think you and Marina will have a chance to play right away?
I hope so. I know that one of their catchers is graduating, and they play with like a two-catcher system, so I'm hoping that there'll be some time.
Now, is catcher the position that they're planning to have you play?
I believe so. I know that they know that like I'm mobile with other positions, but I think that catcher is what I was mainly recruited for, but they know I can also play other positions.
And do you know what you're planning to study up there?
I'm going to try to do pre-dental.
All right, Elle. Hey, thanks a lot for coming tonight. Really appreciate your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior shortstop on the Ankeny softball team. She has helped the Hawkettes to a 15-15 record. Prior to last night, she was batting .490 with three homers and 39 RBIs. She is Marina Carter. Marina, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, hey, I know it was a tough night for your team last night, but can you guys take some positives away from those two games?
Yeah, we definitely had our defense after the first inning of the first game just kind of turned on and really took care of it. And then making sure that we're always on the offensive side, just making sure we're scoring runs and getting something done on that end.
Well, you guys battled back from a 6-0 deficit in the first game and had the tying run thrown out at home plate in the seventh inning. And then in the nightcap, you twice came back from five runs down to take a 9-8 lead before Centennial then responded to complete the sweep with a 12-9 win. But you have to be happy with the way your team, you know, didn't give up. This team seems to have a never-say-die attitude.
Yeah, we definitely want to try and keep things in the game, not just letting people get ahead of us and thinking that they can just beat us and get out without a fight.
Well, you hit a sacrifice fly in your team's comeback in the first game, and then you had three hits and drove in five runs in the second game, including a couple of doubles, which gives you 13 doubles on the year now. Do you feel like you're seeing the ball pretty well right now?
Yeah, I think that hitting is just pretty much staying in. You never know what they're going to throw you or what they're going to try to do on the other side of the ball, try to find your weak spots, if anything. But I think just staying on top of it is something that really helps me.
Well, Coach Bingham had you hitting out of the two-hole last night, but I know you've hit third this year as well as in the leadoff spot. Do you have a preference for where you hit in the lineup?
No, I don't. I think just having a good plan when I go up to bat, just making sure that I see the ball and make contact.
Does your approach at the plate change at all depending on where you're hitting? I mean, like if you're hitting third, do you look more to like drive the ball or drive in some runs?
If I'm leading off, I definitely try to get on base so I can be that person to get around and score. But if I'm batting two or three, then I try to just move the runners that are on or just trying to score some runs.
Well, even though you guys lost three of the four meetings against Centennial during the regular season, you know, all those losses were close, and your team will get another crack at the Jaguars when you travel to Centennial on July 10th for a Class 5A regional semifinal. I know you told me last night that the Jaguars, you know, might overlook you guys after last night, but, you know, even if they don't, you guys, you know, have certainly shown that you can play with them. I'm sure you feel like you can go over there and beat them because you've done it once already this season, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, you guys didn't see two of Centennial's top pitchers last night, Sam Klug and Lauren Gustafson. Klug did throw a complete game against you in that earlier doubleheader, and Gustafson tossed one inning in the game that you guys did win, 13-6. So do you have a feel for who they might throw at you, you know, in that rematch in 11 days?
I don't know. They might be able to just go in and switch things up, but probably Sam for the most part.
Well, like them, you know, you guys have used multiple pitchers this season, too. They've all had success at times. Do you have confidence in whoever Coach Bingham decides to throw in that game?
Yeah, I think that our pitchers, when we're really locked and dialed in and our defense is behind them, we can have anyone throw and we'll be fine.
Well, I don't think it's any secret that, you know, one of the areas where you guys have struggled a little bit this year is on defense. Going into last night, your team was averaging more than three errors per game. I know you had, you know, some more in that doubleheader, especially in that first game. I know Coach Bingham has told me that it's not a problem when you guys, you know, commit one or two errors, but, you know, when you start having more than that, it's kind of hard to overcome that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, do you think the errors, you know, have almost become contagious at times?
If we don't just like let the last play go, then we definitely have some issues with that kind of spirals to everyone else. But as long as we just think forward to the next play and the next pitch, then I think that we don't have issues with errors.
Well, you obviously play a position, a shortstop, that sees a lot of chances in the field, you know, and you've had some errors this year too. But I'm sure you feel like if you guys, you know, can clean up those defensive mistakes, then, you know, you can play with anybody because you guys can certainly score some runs.
Right, yeah.
Well, Maureen, I just wanted to ask you briefly about your future. You've committed to play for Minnesota State. Now, my first guest tonight, Ella Schultz, committed to the Mavericks about a month before you did last year. Was that a factor in your decision at all?
No, it wasn't. I, like, didn't really realize that she had already committed to go there until my parents said, like, oh, yeah, like, she's looked to go there, too, when I went on my visit. So I think I've played with Ella a lot when I was younger. Her dad and my dad both coached us with Alex Brooks's dad on our team, too. So I've been playing with her and against her for a really long time.
Well, do you think you and Ella will have a chance to contribute right away?
I think so. We're both – Ella's obviously a really good player, and she knows what she's doing in the field and with her bat. So I think that both of us should have a good opportunity to go in and do something big for them.
Now, shortstop, the position that they're planning on having you play?
I was looking to switch more into outfield and look into playing some more outfield with that. I think that – my arm is good enough to be in the outfield. I think that that might just be something different to look into.
Well, it's good to be versatile, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know you told me earlier that you're planning on studying nursing up there. Is that still the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Maureen. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. So you can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right. Well, we have a special guest right now. He is a realtor at Coldwell Banker Mid-America, and he's been on the podcast before. He is Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
It's great to be here. Thanks, Stan.
Hey, you bet. Well, how's your summer going?
Oh, man, it's flying. I can't believe it's almost 4th of July.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, with the market being the way it is, it's just flying by.
Well, I know it's a challenging market right now. I had one of your cohorts, Andy Logan, on the podcast last week, and he was telling me that things are still pretty crazy. I mean, inventory is still way down, isn't it?
Yeah, about the time you think it's slowing down, it speeds back up. The inventory still is consistently lower than it was last year by about half. It's just unbelievable.
And the prices of homes have gone way up then, too, along with that, right?
Yeah, and that's the challenging part is we have buyers that are going in competing with each other to try to buy a home. They're offering over asking price, sometimes significantly. And what we're running into is appraisal issues. I had one just this week where the initial appraisal came in fine, came right at the sale price. But then when the underwriter looked at it, he didn't like everything he saw. It got adjusted down and ended up being significantly short. Thankfully, we were able to keep the deal together and get it sold. But, it's a difficult time.
So can they still pay more than what the appraisal's for?
Absolutely. If that does happen. You'll have people come in. They've been looking for a house for a long time. They find one that's just right, and they will knowingly overpay for the home because they're done looking and they want to buy it. They've got the cash to make up the difference between what it'll appraise for and what the sale price is.
Well, I had a friend here recently who sold his home in just a matter of hours, and I'm sure you have clients that have been looking for homes for quite a while. So when a new home does come on the market and you find out about it, I mean, I'm sure it's probably kind of a race to get over there and buy it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why when we have folks that are in that price point, especially the lower price points, we make sure that they're ready to go. They've met with their lender. They've got the pre-approval. They know what to do. They know that when a house comes on the market, they've got hours. So they can't say, oh, let's see it Saturday. They have to see, okay, I'll meet you right after work and let's go look at it. And most of these listings know now to put in the remarks, we're going to receive multiple offers. The seller will collect offers until noon tomorrow and then we'll choose who they're going to deal with.
Wow. Well, and then I know some people build their own homes too. And right now, is another thing you're dealing with, is that extended build time? Is that right?
Yeah, that's, you know, with Kimberly Development, they've consistently built the finest homes in the market. And it would normally take us about 6 months to build a really beautiful home. It's taking 9 months and in most cases, almost a year to get that done simply because the availability of supplies, but also labor. When you are a higher end builder, you don't use just any sub, you use the very best subs. And they're struggling to get labor to do what they need to do, and so it's taking them longer, and that just goes down the chain. It takes everybody longer. And you'll see if you drive through some of these developments, some of these big houses that seem to sit and nothing changes for a week at a time. And that's why. And so what used to take 6 months might take a year to get it done.
Oh, wow. You're dealing with a lot of issues then, aren't you?
Yeah. It is just crazy because there are people that are coming in that might want to build, but they look at those build times. They say, I'm just not going to do it. So then they look at the existing market, and there's just very little out there. So it's a tough time.
Well, you mentioned Kimberly Estates, Kimberly Crossing, the two developments that you're associated with. You want to talk about those a little bit?
Yeah, let's start with Kimberly Crossing. If you've driven up Delaware north of Northeast 36th Street, just north of the Otter Creek Golf Course on the left-hand side, you've seen a lot of dirt work happening up there. That's where Kimberly Crossings is going to be. Those are going to be some townhomes, some bi-attached, and then some standalone, what we call villas. And those could go up to $500,000. Those are going to be some nice standalone villa homes that are designed for people who maybe want to have a second home here and maybe in Florida or Arizona or some place like that. We've got the buy-attached price point, and we've got the standalone price point. And that's going to be a really, really nice neighborhood. Talking about extended build times, we're struggling to get the streets paved. We're getting the dirt work done. Everything's going well. Once we get those streets paved, then we can start looking at building. But it might be next year before we're hoping to be building this year. You never lose hope. But
right.
It looks like it might be next spring before that starts to happen.
What's up near my neighborhood? We moved into the Renaissance Villas last October, so not too far from where we're at. So are those villas going to be similar to the ones over in our neighborhood?
Yeah, they're gonna be. I don't know if you are familiar with the Kimberly Villas over on Pinehurst off of Northeast 28th in the Briarwood development. They're going to be very similar to those. And then across the street, we've got Kimberly Estates, which is going to be one of the premier communities in Ankeny. I can't share with you today. Next time I come on, I'm going to have a huge announcement about Kimberly Estates.
All right.
But I tell you, that development is getting a lot of attention right now, a lot of interest. We've got custom builds that are in the pipeline, and it's going faster. I tend to be a little bit of a pessimist. It's going faster even than I thought. We've got two plats there, and plat one is just really going well. So if you're looking to build a house that's over $600,000 and you want it to be in a neighborhood of like homes or bigger homes, this is the place in Ankeny to be, and it's conveniently located. It's easy to get to Ames. It's easy to get to downtown. It's just a really special, quiet, high-end little community.
When you're ready to make that announcement, let me know, or have Rachel let me know, because I'll probably forget. But yeah, we'll have you back on to make that big announcement. So
we'll do that.
Well, hey, Tom, I know you're a big sports fan, too. You're a Cubs fan. They're kind of on a slide, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness. This was their opportunity. They had the Brew Crew. They could have taken it to them and made some strides there, and instead they're laying an egg. Now, tonight, they're going to turn it around, right? Right now, while we're sitting here talking, let's hope they're turning it around. I don't know.
Well, you're sounding optimistic there, Tom.
Well, you're a Cubs fan. What are you going to do?
Well, hey, I'm a Twins fan, so I already cashed in this season. I don't know. They're starting to play a little bit better now, but it can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I know you're going to be busy this weekend. You're going to be at the Good Guys car show this weekend there with your red truck, right?
Yeah, so I got the little red truck. If people have seen that driving around, it's far from hot rod. And if you've ever driven behind it, I apologize. It doesn't go real fast, but the car show is a great time just to meet with people and talk to them. And if somebody is a car fan and they're also thinking about maybe doing something with the house, find me at the little red truck and we can have a conversation.
Is that going to be at the fairgrounds?
Yep, it's down at the fairgrounds. And then in a couple weeks, then in the middle of the month, is the big car show here in the district. Dennis Albaugh and Carl putting that together. That's going to be a great time. I love seeing stuff like that here in Ankeny. That is going to be a great time.
Oh, I do too. Well, hey, Tom, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my next guest is a senior pitcher and first baseman for the third-ranked Ankeny baseball team. He has helped the Hawks to a 21-6 record, and last night he played a key role as they swept Ankeny Centennial to wrap up the CIML Iowa Conference title. He is Weston Folk. Weston, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. How's it feel to be conference champs?
It's been a big goal of ours coming in the year. We have bigger goals coming for us, but having that conference title is definitely a big one.
Let's talk about your performance on the mound. You tossed a one-hitter and had 11 strikeouts in the first game of the doubleheader to lead your team to a 10-0 victory in six innings. You know, do you think that was one of the best performances of your career?
Yeah, for sure this year. That was definitely an efficient outing that I had. The coaches really worked up with me about my efficiency and challenging me to get better. And I think it's a good point leading into July.
Well, you did struggle a little bit with your control early on. You walked four batters and had another one in the first three innings. But after the first two batters got on the third inning, you really cruised the rest of the way. You told me last night that you just got a little lazy with your fastball. You were missing up and away. So was it just a matter of, you know, maybe losing your focus a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely a focus thing, as well as my fielders are making big plays. Carter Smith, Cale Boyd, Jace Bauer made a big play too. That really helps win games, and that helps out a pitcher a lot.
Well, for the season, you now have a 4-2 record with a 2.78 ERA. You've struck out 53 batters in just 27 2/3 innings, so your strikeout rate is pretty comparable to that of your teammate, Brody Brecht, who has 61 Ks in 29 1/3 innings. But you've allowed nearly twice as many walks as hits. You've given up 28 walks and just 15 hits. So as far as the walks go, do you think they're the result of just not being able to hit your spots, or is it maybe that you're maybe trying to be too precise at times?
Yeah, definitely trying to be too precise. I'm trying to hit my spots too much, and I end up missing out, as well as just focus as well. When you get 0-2, you always need to try and finish a batter off, and that's what I've been trying to do now. But I get complacent getting 0-2, and then that leads me to go 3-2 and way deep into counts.
We had one inning last night, the fourth inning, where you struck out the side all on called third strikes. What was your primary strikeout pitch last night? Were you freezing the batters with some off-speed stuff, or most of them fastballs?
I think it was a fastball. The fastball really, really worked for me last night. Definitely hitting the outside corner as well as I could bring it in. But the fastball is a big pitch for me to get batters looking.
Well, I was going back and forth last night, and I was over at the softball game when Centennial got its only hit off of you in the fifth inning. So who had the only hit for the Jaguars?
I think it was Severson, their eighth hitter. I gave him a 3-1 fastball down the middle, and he took it right to center. So
a clean hit?
Yep.
Or were you starting to think about a no-hitter at all?
I had the thought in my head going out into the fifth inning. I saw there was a 0 in the hit column, and it got me excited, but I still need to do my job.
We ended up throwing 98 pitches in six innings. If the game had gone to a seventh inning, you might not have been able to get to, you know, the last three outs before you reached your pitch limit. And that's obviously one of the reasons why you want to get, you know, your number of walks down, right, so that you can keep that pitch count down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Totally.
Well, let's talk about your hitting now. You blasted a two-run homer in the first inning of the opener to give yourself the only runs that you would need. You told me last night that the Centennial pitcher, Joey Oakey, threw a first-pitch fastball to both Jace Bauer and Brody Brecht. So you kind of knew what to look for then, didn't you?
Yeah. Oakey's a really solid pitcher, you know. He's only a freshman. He got miles to progress, and it'll be cool to watch him see. And then when he gets to Iowa, he'll be just even better.
Well, you're now batting .495 with 8 homers, 15 doubles, and 42 RBIs, and you rank among the state leaders in several offensive categories. It just doesn't seem like you've missed any pitches at all this season. Has the baseball kind of looked like a beach ball to you this season? Because, you know, you just seem to jump on every mistake.
Yeah, these past couple doubleheaders, it's been big for me at the plate, and it's really helped on my confidence because early in the year I was struggling. I was going like 1 for 15 at the plate, and the coaches really helped me just with my approach and my plan at the plate, look away, react in, and it's been a key to success this year.
Well, I know we talked about this earlier this season, but you are headed to Iowa next year, and the Hawkeyes recruited you mostly as a pitcher. And I know Coach Heller has been over to, here to see you play at least once this season. So has he said anything to you yet about the possibility, you know, of hitting at that level, or is it still the plan just to have you focus on the pitching?
So I did talk to them this summer about hitting, and they said that it was a go, and I'll definitely be focusing more on pitching side than the hitting, but they'll definitely give me some ABs or in scrimmages, and then evaluate me and then put me in the lineup as accordingly.
Now, I haven't watched a lot of college baseball. I know the College World Series is going on right now, but you know, are there many guys at that level who can do both pitching and hitting?
A couple of guys are at Iowa right now, but yeah, not a lot. But I just want to try and strive to be the best player that I can be.
Sure. Well, as a guy who can both pitch and hit, you know, what do you think about what Shohei Ohtani is doing at the major league level? That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy hitting like 25 bombs and also giving up like a 2 ERA, it's insane to me.
Well, another guy who can both pitch and hit at a high level is your teammate Brody, who we mentioned earlier. It was announced earlier today that he's the winner of the Gatorade Iowa Player of the Year Award. You know, considering all that he's done, you know, that's a well-deserved honor, isn't it?
Nobody's more deserved to that award. He's a great ball player. He can, as you can tell, he can run it up on the radar gun, but also he can hit his spots, and it's really cool to watch him pitch on the mound.
Yeah, I know he's scheduled to pitch again tomorrow night. I think I'm going to try to get up to Marshalltown. We don't know how many more starts he's going to have, so I don't want to miss too many of them.
Yeah, well, his future's he's got a bright future ahead of him. I'm so happy for him.
Well, now that you guys have wrapped up the conference title, I'm sure the rest of the regular season will be all about getting ready for the postseason. Your team has been placed in the same sub-state bracket along with Des Moines North, Valley, and the three Sioux City schools. So what did you think of your sub-state assignment?
I think it was a pretty solid sub-state. Valley's kind of up and down. They can play really well at times, so they can be dangerous as well. Sioux City, they have a bunch of wins on their schedule, but I think we're ready. This lineup that we have, I think as a pitcher, that's a tough task to go from top to bottom with not only power but speed, and we have the whole nine yards. It's great. I love watching these guys hit and compete.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, Sioux City East is ranked ninth of the 23-4 record, you know, and that's a team that you could meet in the sub-state final. On paper, anyway, that looks like a, you know, could be a pretty good team. Have you learned much about them yet?
So I know that they've been playing out east, and they've played a lot of Sioux City teams, you know, teams in their conference, but the way it looks, they've had a good win against Southeast Polk too, but I think the way we've been playing so far and the run we've built up, I think nothing can stop us to go back to Dwayne Banks.
Right, right. Well, we'll talk about that here in a minute. If you guys are able to get that number one seed, I know Coach Balvans has said that, you know, that would allow you guys to pitch Brody in the opening round, and then he could come back and pitch the sub-state final as well. So you'd have to like your chances of making it back to state, you know, under that scenario.
Yeah, that'd be huge. That'd be great. It's a perfect scenario.
Well, this year's state tournament will be held in Iowa City on July 29th through the 31st, as you mentioned, Dwayne Banks Field. You know, are you pretty excited about the possibility of playing on the Hawkeyes field?
Yes, it'll be a great opportunity. Just get a little taste on it before going off to Iowa City and playing at that field in the future.
Sure. Well, the Class 4A teams will have to win 3 games in 3 days in order to win a state title. So your team obviously would have to go, you know, deeper into your pitching staff beyond Brody. But, you know, you guys have you have Sam Andrews, Will Johnson, and possibly some others that would have to eat up some innings, you know, somewhere. I'm sure you'd love to pitch over there at Dwayne Banks Field, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir. I think our rotation is way deeper than what we think, because we got guys like Dylan Schley and Easton Dunwoody that can shit out games 1-2-3 like they have been the past couple of weeks, as well as Sammy and Will Johnson. They've been doing great, and obviously Brody.
Of course, so last year you were on the mound for the state championship game against Johnston, and you left the game with a 7-3 lead after you reached your pitch limit, and then the Dragons rallied for an 11-8 victory. 2 years ago, Johnston defeated you guys in the opening round of state. Now the Dragons are the new number one team in Class 4A. How badly do you guys want another crack at them?
We've been thinking about that game since last August for a while now, and I really, really want to play them again and show that we can get the job done, because that's been a goal of ours this offseason, is not only because we've been, since our freshman year, Coach Baldwin has been talking, like we lost sub-state finals. Sophomore year, we made it to state, lost it in the opening round. And then last year we made it to the finals with loss, and now the final step is, you know, to finish it. I mean, it's no better time with these guys to hopefully win a championship.
Well, that'd be a great matchup against Johnson if we see that. There's showing some other good teams, you know, Dowling, Pleasant Valley, Waukee. So it's going to be a great tournament, I think, regardless. It should be a lot of fun. Well, hey, Weston, thanks a lot for coming in, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, my final guest tonight is a senior catcher for the Centennial baseball team, and he's helped the Jaguars to a 15-15 record. Prior to last night, he was batting .361 with 9 doubles and 25 RBIs. He's Jackson Powell. Jackson, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me here.
Oh, you bet. Well, I know you guys didn't get the outcomes you wanted last night, but you have to give credit to Ankeny. That's a heck of a team, isn't it?
Yeah, they played very well last night, and we tried our hardest, but they were just the better team last night. So.
Well, I know Brody Brecht was originally slated to pitch last night, but then his start was pushed back to Wednesday. But you guys still saw some talented pitchers last night. We just had Weston Falk on the podcast, and he tossed a one-hitter with 11 strikeouts in the opener. What was it like facing him last night?
Yeah, he was definitely on last night. He was, at least for me, when I went up against him, he was painting corners, and his curveball was low in the zone and very hard to hit. So as long as he's throwing strikes and mixing up his pitches well, he's very tough to hit. So it was tough last night.
Well, even though you guys didn't face Brody last night, I know you did earlier this season. I know you guys have been teammates in the past. Today, he was named the Gatorade Iowa Player of the Year. I'm sure you feel like that's a well-deserved honor for him, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. He's very talented in multiple sports, which is very tough to do because obviously got to practice to get that good. But definitely a great player and has some very good potential to exceed later in life. So.
Well, you guys certainly played better in the second game last night. You dropped a 4-1 decision after giving up 4 runs in the first 2 innings. Your pitcher, Kyle Miller, shut down the Hawks the rest of the way. Boy, he did a nice job, didn't he?
Yeah, he did very well. We kind of had a game plan going in to really locate pitches and mix up our pitches well against some of their great hitters. And one of the tough things about their lineup is all 9 of their hitters, 1 through 9, can all hit one out, 350-foot home run every single pitch. So you got to really stay in control throughout the entire start, and Kyle Miller did a great job last night.
Well, I heard that Coach High got ejected last night, and I was over at the softball game when that happened, but you know, that seems out of character for him, but I guess there were a couple calls that just didn't go your team's way, huh?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a good overall umpiring the game that we played, but obviously Coach High saw that maybe things weren't going our way, and he tried to stick up for our team and kind of motivate us, and I think he did a pretty good job because I believe right after he got thrown out, I don't think we gave up a run the rest of the game. So it really pumped us up and got our team going.
Well, you guys obviously have a young team. I believe you're the only senior who's playing regularly right now because you've got a few guys who are out with some injuries. But some of the younger players like Kyle, you know, have really stepped up. Did you expect the young guys to contribute as much as they have this season?
Yeah, definitely at the beginning of the year. That's kind of one of my biggest questions. I was really thinking if these young guys can help contribute to our team. And definitely each week with more experience that they're getting, they're playing better and better, and I hope to see them continue to climb each week. So I hope they can do that and succeed well.
Well, your team was really on a roll last week after sweeping a doubleheader against Marshalltown. You had won 8 of your last 9 games before you dropped a close one to then top-ranked Pleasant Valley at the Brent Pryor Classic on Saturday, and you also lost to Gilbert, the current number 5 team in Class 3A. You know, so now you're on a 4-game losing skid after being swept last night. What's it going to take, you know, to turn things around again?
Yeah, one of Coach High's biggest things that he preaches to us is just to get better each and every week. And obviously being on a 4-game losing streak after our, I believe, 8-game winning streak, that he mentioned to us in practice today that we just need to keep stepping up each and every week, even if we're in that downward trend that we're in now. And he even mentioned that we're not really in a necessarily downward slope right now. We're more in a scuffle, and scuffles are really easy to get out of. So with hard work and determination, we can definitely do that.
Well, obviously, those were 3 highly ranked teams that you lost to, too. So, I mean, you got to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
A lot of teams would have lost to those teams.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, you guys will host a doubleheader against Ames tomorrow, and then you'll travel to Mason City on Monday for your final conference twin bill. And that one might be a battle for second place in the conference. If you guys were able to finish up, you know, second in the conference, that'd be a nice accomplishment considering how young this team is.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely see some very good things coming in our future with how young we are. But I would love to get second in the conference this year. Obviously, our goal was number 1, but with Ankeny playing so hot this year, number 2 is a very good goal to have the rest of the year.
Well, of course, you guys are also preparing for the postseason. You've been placed in the same sub-state bracket along with Des Moines East, Roosevelt, Indianola, Johnston, and Marshalltown. Johnston, of course, is the new number one team and the defending state champion. What did you think of your team's postseason assignment?
I think it's all right. I mean, obviously, Johnston's very hot right now and arguably one of the best hitting teams in the state. So they're always going to be a tough face for us to face, but we definitely have to look one game at a time. So even our first round and second round to get to presumably Johnston, we got to take those games one step at a time and focus on each inning of every game.
Well, your team showed in the loss to Pleasant Valley that you can play with anyone. You know, I'm sure you feel like you guys have a chance to make some noise in the postseason, don't you?
Yeah, that Pleasant Valley game kind of opened our eyes to how good we can really be when all nine of us are playing great baseball. And I think it really just kind of motivated us to get better each and every week so we can maybe go far in this state tournament.
Well, Jackson, I want to talk to you briefly about your future. You've committed to play for Illinois Central College. Now, if I remember right, you felt just, you know, like the JUCO route was the best way for you to go in order to eventually reach the Division I level, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to go there and play in a JUCO setting. I'm overall excited to just meet new players and meet a new coach and just go through an overall new experience. And I'm hoping to transfer to a D1 out of there. That's my main goal, so I'm hoping to look good there and follow my goals.
Yeah, and doesn't Illinois Central have a good track record of sending its catchers on to the Division I level?
Yeah, I believe 7 or 8 of their last catchers have all went D1, so I'm hoping I can follow in that same path that they have all followed.
Now, do you anticipate being able to go in there and compete for a job right away?
Yeah, there's, I believe, one other catcher that is committed to go there, and he had a very good season in Illinois, so me and him are going to be competing for that number one spot, and I'm hoping I get it, but I'm sure he is hoping he gets it too. So we both have to work hard, and we'll see who gets it.
All right, Jackson. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Enjoyed the conversation, and good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had softball standouts Marina Carter of Ankeny, along with Ella Schultz of Centennial. We had baseball standouts Weston Folk of Ankeny and Jackson Powell of Centennial. We also had Tom Butler from Coldwell Banker Mid-America stop by. I appreciate the time of all of those people. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.